Does witnessing end once we get to heaven? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. And for the last last 3 months, we've been focusing our attention on evangelism and witnessing. Our lesson today is entitled, A Perpetual Ministry. My name is Paul Dibdahl. With me as conversation partners are Dr. Alex Bryan, senior pastor at the Walla Walla University Church, and Patty McCoy, chaplain at Walla Walla University, Patty with a master's degree in youth ministry. Thank you both for joining me today. Throughout most of these last few months, we've been talking about witnessing in the context of telling the story of Jesus to other people who don't know the story. But in the Bible, we find the word witnessing or witness, a witness is used in a variety of contexts. And I'm wondering if it is in fact the case that witnessing, will witnessing continue even when we're in heaven? And what sort of witnessing might that be?
You know, when I think about telling other people about Jesus, it's always in the context of you know, I start that process by telling them about the things that have happened in my life because of this person named Jesus. And the things that I've witnessed, the things that I've seen, that I've been a part of, that I've experienced. And honestly, for me, I think heaven, those stories just continue. Not only do I want to continue to tell the story of Jesus and Jesus's life through the eyes of that I've experienced, but to hear the stories of others. I used to love when I was a kid being able to stay up really late and watching Johnny Carson. And in the stories of people that he'd have people that were 100 years old or just turned 100, and he would ask them questions about their lives and what they experienced, what they did. To me, it's like that. It's getting around and being able to share stories of people's lives, how they experienced Jesus, what happened in their lives, what did they get to witness, so to speak. I just see it as one big campfire that we get to sit around and share stories.
Swap stories, which is witnessing, isn't it? It's recounting the things that we have experienced, the things that we have seen.
My favorite line in the great hymn, Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I love that because it speaks to an eternity of storytelling about God, about his goodness, about his creation, and whatever drab images of heaven that somehow have seeped into our consciousness, where we think of fluffy white clouds and sitting around playing harps. Now, I suppose for some that are listening, that's an enthusiastic
instrument. Harps are a wonderful, wonderful instrument, yes.
But to think about the endless possibility of sitting around with groups of friends, eating and telling stories about everything that's going on in the universe, God's universe.
Yeah.
I mean, witnessing never ends. And I think that that's not only important for our view of the afterlife, if you will, or of heaven, but it's critical for how we think about witnessing now, because it shifts my thinking away from, I've got to tell you something in order to get you to change your mind about something, to, I'm just telling you stories about the one that I love and his world. And it free, in one sense, it takes the pressure away and it frees me up to want to tell those stories more even now in this world.
And you stole a little bit of my thunder there. My next question was going to be, if that's the way witnessing will look in heaven, should that somehow inform our witnessing here on this earth? And it seemed to me like you're suggesting that indeed there is that kind of connection. The Bible talks about Jesus a couple of places in Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and then again in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. In both those places, Jesus is called the faithful witness. So, again, most of the quarter we've been talking about we are witnessing for Jesus, or we are witnessing on behalf of Jesus. And yet here's a place where Jesus is called a faithful witness. What does that title suggest about Jesus? It's not a very commonly used way, not a common title that we apply to Jesus. Any reflections on that? What does it mean to call Jesus a faithful witness?
Well, could it have something to do with the fact that Jesus is the image of God, that the clearest picture of God that we see, that through his life he continues to reveal who God is? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Hebrews it says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So could it be that that's part of what the story is, that through his life, through his words, through learning about him, we continue to see who God is?
So Jesus bears witness, reveals to us something of the character of the Father, and he does that in a faithful kind of way.
Okay. And he tells stories. In Luke 15, he says, well, let me tell you about a father. And there was this boy. In fact, he had a brother. And the story goes on. And then it's about this father that runs out and embraces the one who's wandered off. Well, who's the father in the story? Mm-hmm. Jesus is a faithful witness. He's telling us stories about God in heaven.
Mm-hmm. And once again, we could say, we can learn something about witnessing as we look at Jesus. If Jesus is the sort of the model evangelist, the model witnesser of God, we can learn something about how we ought to witness based on the way in which he witnessed. I'm going to move to Acts here, and not a entirely seamless transition, but in Acts, the second chapter, we have a description of the early church meeting together for fellowship, for food, for prayer, mutual support, including material support for those that were needy. We would typically see this as not an example of evangelism. I mean, they're meeting together, eating together. We say this is an example of nurture, not evangelism. Is that a adequate distinction? Is that a fair distinction? Are those two separate things, nurture of new believers and witnessing or evangelism? Is caring for somebody's physical needs less important than baptizing them?
I think it's all a part of the process. I think it's showing the love of God, the love of Jesus through our acts and the way that we care for one another. That this is what we got to have something to attract people, you know, and what's going to attract them to the gospel story? Is it going to be the way that we love and care for one another that makes people say that I want to be with them? I want to be a part of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's a testimony that's given in the process of caring for one another as a community. I think that is a sort of beacon of light in a world where people don't normally exhibit that kind of concern and love for others. So I guess for me, a distinction between nurture and evangelism is really kind of a false distinction. I think I'm agreeing with you on this point, Patty. Are there evangelistic activities that are especially exciting to you? And let me say it another way. Are there trends in evangelism that you're especially excited about? Success stories, things you think, man, that's really the way it ought to look. We're coming down now right to the very end of our time together. So
the most rewarding evangelistic season of my life was when in a major American city, I was a pastor. I got permission from our church board to do a little moonlighting for the purposes of ministry at a local bicycle shop because I like road cycling. And I went to work in that place and built relationships with people who were there who were at a great distance from God and church. But just to mingle and to forge relationships over the course of time – And I ended up being the wedding pastor for this group and actually did about a half dozen weddings of these people that, again, no relationship to God, didn't go to church. But as a result of those interactions in that world, actually experienced some people deciding to come to church, a couple baptisms, some amazing things happened. But the rewarding thing for me was not just the end product, that there was a baptism, but it was the actually placing myself in the middle of a community of people, loving them and listening to them and being, to use Jesus' metaphor, a kind of salt and light in the world. That's what the reward was. Mm-hmm. The baptisms and such were fantastic, but even if those had not taken place, the beauty was in following Christ's Great Commission command to actually go into the world and to leaven mm-hmm. it with his word. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, there's nothing that I love more than being able to, you know, when I have a student that comes in, and you know, maybe they've grown up in the church and they've grown up, they know a lot of things about certain scripture texts and they know a lot of things about certain doctrines or fundamental beliefs. But the question comes across, and they say, but I don't know how to have a relationship with Jesus. You know, I don't know what that looks like. How am I supposed to pray? How do I read my Bible? What am I supposed to do? And I think that sometimes that gets assumed along the way. And so, you know, a part of evangelism that I enjoy is being able to do that discipleship piece. Being able to walk side by side with people and say, let's learn what it looks like to live day in and day out in his footsteps, walking, journeying with Jesus. Being able to do that with others is one of the reasons that I'm in the job that I'm in, is because I can't even put into words how exciting that is to be a part of that process.
My hope is that as we've talked together week by week, about the subject of witnessing and evangelism. My hope is that we would recognize that this is not merely a duty. In fact, it is a wonderful privilege that God invites us to join with him in reaching out to a world that I think is desperately in need of good news. And we have the privilege of sharing that good news with everyone, not just in this way or in that way, but in the unique way that God has gifted us, the unique way in which he has called us to spread that news. May God give us a full measure of his Spirit, and may we faithfully tell of his grace now and through all eternity. That is my hope, and that is my prayer. Thank you again, Patty and Alex, for your willingness to talk together, not just today, but in many weeks previous to this one. Thank you to Chad Ofterhauer, our program engineer. And I'd like to thank you, our listeners, for joining us as well. May God bless us all. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.